Mr. Waller, Reel 5. Any other memories of Berlin?
Well, we went shopping one Saturday, and the chap from was at school with, he went to the grammar school in Mr. Bolton, and he took the grammar school in German, and he would use that to buy the presents to take home. But we'd been in the shop, and all you could see were those lines, there was glass, there was pants, there was slips. But we'd seen in the shop window what one did, and we'd gone out again, and we'd looked. And one of the weird girls in the room was more or less questioning what were we after. We were pointing at a tablecloth. And we went back in the shop, and he spoke to her in German, and she just shook her head and said, one moment. And then she brought a girl who spoke English and said, what did you want? And we said, we looked for tablecloths and serviettes downstairs. And we was lost upstairs, but his German wasn't any good. I don't recommend
You mentioned the Queen's birthday. Were there any other ceremonial occasions when the battalion returned?
Not that I can remember. Just the Queen's birthday, but then, which is more or less like a national thing in the British Army all over the world. I don't remember any more parades. Apart from the CEO's parade on a Saturday morning, which I used to enjoy, really enjoyed that. The band, and the regimental march, and the double past, and everything that was involved with that was, I really, really enjoyed that. That's the highlight of my army career. I really did enjoy CEO's parade.
Who was CEO?
Colonel Hamley was CEO, and RSM Thomason was the RSM. And I've only recently found out he lived in England. And a very, very smart person. And the best part about it was he used to say, right, I'll march the battalion up and the officers stand still, and he would give them some extra duties or extra drill.
But the RSM had that kind of authority?
Well, he had authority, yes, but everybody was on parade on a Saturday morning, and the RSM, all the officers were there in the correct position, and the CO, he would bring the parade to attention, and he would go to the CO, and the CO, and, you know, handed over to the CO, and the CO had the parade, and he gave you the instructions as to what you would do when you would march past in rank and file, or if you were in abreast, and he did it all, and he would hand over to RSM Thomason, and Thomason had the parade, and he would, the CO would say goodbye, and he would disappear, but all the officers were there, and then he would say, battalion will march off, the officers stand fast. Whether the 2IC did the parade, Colonel Norman, who is now with the Major Norman, would stay at Dorthport, I can't remember. But I can remember the officers standing there when you had, they all had a platoon, hadn't they, three platoons, but they used to, a line of them stood out in the big gaps between them where they stood in front of their own platoons. And they had to stay there and do a little bit more drill where we'd marched off. And that was then nearly up to lunchtime. Another highlight of being in Berlin, they used to have what they called a signing on dinner. And it's debatable whether it was a Tuesday or a Friday. But I also remember they had all sorts of things on your plate that was totally alien to a normal meal. You could get fish and chips, an egg, and peas and beans as well, all on the same plate. And we differ, as I must say, you remember the fish and chips and the egg, but very well the beans and the beans. But I remember all them colours on that plate. And you used to really enjoy that meal. But the meals weren't bad at all when you got there. But I don't think they were German, I don't think they were our cooks, I think they were German cooks. There was a lot of civilian. Well, I suppose you had to know that there. And to pay the way, I suppose you start to live in the country. And it was easier, I suppose, than trying to get out of to do it.
So the meals were perhaps a little bit more than the usual army stuff.
Yes, the meals were a lot better. I don't remember it as later where you had your army meal and you had to go out and buy something to go take back to your billet and do it then. You just toast. I don't remember having to do that at all. I was quite satisfied with the meals. You got a main course and a suite. But you had proper facilities, you had a proper table, you know, you sat down at it, there was no you know, take it outside and find somewhere to sit. And if you missed, invite you, you had to do later on.
What was the colonel like?
Very nice chap. Very nice chap. We got the 5 days holiday at Easter when we were there. And I'd set off on the Easter Monday morning. So I was keen on swimming to go to the Olympic pool. And there was no transport going in at all. So I set off to row. And I'd only got so far through down the Willemstrasse, and the car pulled up, and it was the CEO. And said, "Where you going?" My name was driving as well. "Where you going?" I said, "I'm going to the Olympic Pass. I'm going so far up that road, and I'll drop you off." I said, "That's all right then." So I got in with the CEO, and he chatted, and "Where did I come from?" And who I came with, and all those badminton mysteries. "Oh yes, right. Oh, this is where I drop you off then. There in no time." I don't know, so when I got out of the car, I don't think I'd gone 100 yards, and the German policeman pulled up. And I'm thinking, "Oh, I don't like this at all, I'm on my own." And he was West German police, but he never know. So he said, "You know, in English, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to the Olympic Pool. I can drop you off at the end of the road." And I said, "That's very good of you," because it was maybe a mile or two away from where we were. So he dropped me off at the road to the Olympic Stadium, and I remember you go up the rise like that, and you turn left to go down, and it's all on a rise, the Olympic setup. And I'm so far up this road, and there was a girl came across on her horse, and I wasn't sure, because I'd been going to the Olympic pool in these 3-ton trucks. You were in the back, you didn't see anything. So I have a German phrase book, so I pulled it out, and I said, "Guten Morgen, mein Fräulein here. Wo ist die Schwimmbad bitte?" And she said, "If you just carry on up this road and turn left and follow it all the way down, you'll find it." I'm standing with my mouth open. And I said, "I'm sorry, you speak good English." She said, "My father's a captain in something or other." I thought, no, they're caught again.
Oh, Norman, what was he like?
Colonel Norman, I don't think he had much to do with it at all, Major Norman. After, he was a great crack. I mean, I'm very friendly with his backman. He's very friendly, and, you know, visit. Well, he didn't know because he's not very clever. Like, he's about 87 now, was he? But I don't think we had much to do with him at all, really. I don't know if it was more. Captain Scott was the adjutant, and he was always on top of you. He seemed to be on top of you all the time. He was a very regimental person. But you did, you got all the history in that. You had to go to the classes and be indoctrinated with the life, you know, of the red and the green. You'd have to run in your blood if you could. You didn't bleed red, you had to be green as well.
And that would be to build pride in the regiment?
Well, of course it was, yes. Well, we still have it today, like, at least I have, anyhow. And we might have had to do intelligence, you know, go to the classes for your intelligence and sit. Well, you had all these things to do for your pay, hadn't you? You had to go on, you had to have a certain third class education, whatever it was, certificate, and then you had to go to the range and qualify on that. We also, if you passed your signals course, you got to put the flags up, and you got another extra money for that to do on those things. So everything was like little incentives to get a little bit more in your pay packet. I can't remember what we got paid in Berlin, not for the life of me. I know if you wanted anything to go on the U-Bahn, you had to go to see the company clerk and say you wanted some U-Bahn tickets. Or you could get these other for the tram, you see, you used to get tram tickets as well to get in the tram, and you just give them the tram and you got off where you wanted to go. And that was an education, because they don't have queues out there. If you were the first person in the queue, and there's another 35 behind you, when the tram pulls up, they don't let the first one get on, the last one's going to be on first. It's a rush to get on. There was no queue, that opened my eyes.
The rest of the officers in the battalion, were they okay?
Yes, for what we'd seen, as I said, there was Captain Taylor. He was a great chap. He was... He did his own washing, he did his own ironing, he did the other shopping, he did the other money. He didn't want the batman. We did have one chap who didn't have a batman, and he was such a finicky person. He was a chap called Lieutenant Nottenbauer. later on, you know, he did a great thing in Korea. I mentioned that later. Just, well, nobody wanted to back him. He was a bit too bad, really. I think he was gone over the top, I think, when he made an officer.
Some of them would be national servicemen themselves, would they?
Well, yes, a lot of them were, but I think this Mr. Whittaker, a while back, is, I think he was national service. He's 2 years were up, and he was one back to his ministry. But I don't remember. I mean, Freddie Hudson was MT officer. I don't remember him there. I've seen him, well, I mean, he's with us now, poor friend. But there was quite a few officers that were in the battalion that I never saw. We'd seen him, maybe he's in the officers' quarters, and you would know the batmen who they were batmen for. But it didn't develop much in Berlin. It developed more when we came back from Berlin.
So how long were you actually in Berlin yourself?
About 5 months. I went, I'd say, the middle of February. It was the middle of February. No, just 4 months. We came back to England in the June.
And did you know why you were coming back?
Well, we knew why we were coming back, yes. The battalion was scheduled to go to Korea in the to be there for the September. Actually, I suppose when I look back now and look at the battalion we relieved, I mean, they did 18 months there, and everybody else was just doing a year or 11 months or 13 months, depending on how they could mould them about. Because at the time there was troubles all over, and just had trouble in Egypt in 1952. Well, we knew that before we left Bransford. We'd seen this article in the Echo. We all wanted to join the patrol, but they wouldn't do it. You're in the Durrans, and that's where you're staying.
Well, you came back to England, and what happened? Obviously, it was the same route back, trains and...
Well, we had a train for the whole battalion out of Charlottenburg Station, straight through to the Hook of Holland. And the same, you know, nice journey. I mean, I might have exaggerated with 36 hours, and I think about it might have been about 18 hours. But it was a good long journey, and you got fed twice on it. And then you were into the Hook. We were off there, and we stayed the night there because they were awful. They just like wooden, big wooden huts with bunks on. And you had all your kit bag and your tow kit bags and suitcases, whatever it was all piled around you. And the next day we went on board a ship. Yeah, we got there on the night and had the mail and went to the bed. The next day we got on the ship and we went to Harwich. And we got off at Harwich and there was a train there, put us on for Durham. And we came up to Durham and the band was there and the station playing here in. And then away we went, all the trucks were there, and they took us to Bransford. But the batman, they took to Bransford Castle. So we were in the castle, and you had to scurry down there and find out where everybody was. Mr. Whittaker, yes he was, he did come back to Bransford Castle. Or did he? I can never remember, because Mr. Owens was a signal officer. I think Mr. Whittaker must have left Berlin, just shortly before we left Berlin, and Mr. Owens was the signal officer. And he came to Bransford, and I was the batman there. And we had some really nice times in Bransford. You got away from a lot of the duties, you didn't have to go to the camp, you spent your time up at the castle for the short period we were there. It was more to get everybody settled in, and then we got 3 weeks. No, really didn't. I don't. We have a bit of trouble about this. I think we came back to Berlin, from Berlin, but everybody put into wherever they were going to be, and then we went to Bellamy for 2 weeks. We had the debate a little while ago about this, and I wrote it down. And I think from coming back from Berlin, we went to Bellamy and did 2 weeks intensive training. Mr. Owen had been the officer just leaving Berlin, and then Lieutenant Tomkinson came. And when we went to Bellamy, Lieutenant Tomkinson was the signal officer, and I was the batman driver operator then, because we still hadn't got any more, but he got issued with a jeep, so I was like the driver, signal and driver operator for a batman. And That was interesting because you had to do all sorts of different things. They used to drive him all over. There was a march planned from West Auckland to Bransworth, and we came and planned it all out. And because I knew this area, because it belonged West Auckland, and we went to the police station and got locked up by, just for a bit of fun, because I knew the local police. And then we went to Lifton and Thomas and said, we have to go and see the police and the bus people and so forth, and one thing and another. And we went to the police station in St. Helens. And when I left school, the two lads are not around with me. Their father was a local policeman. And as soon as I went in to the police station, that's him, straight in here, present in a nick, and told me some more stuff. So that about, we've been looking for him for ages. He's been in Berlin. Ah, no wonder we couldn't find him. Right, you know, it just was a bit joke, really. And, well, I was panicking, I didn't know what to do. And I think Tony was a bit vanilla, but he was a lot older than me, so he would be been around a bit longer. But anyhow, we planned the route, and whoever gave them the route, they said, you know where this place is, Tudor? I said, yes. Well, we have to go to Tudor. There's a ford crossing here. I thought, I don't remember anything like that. So we were going to Tudor Village, and he said, where's the ford? Oh, you're going to be down that track there. So when you go down the track, in the Roman town, there had been a ford. But we had a hoist like that straight across the river. He said, oh, that's totally out of it. So then the route was planned that it was from West Auckland down through St. Helens into Bishop Auckland Main Street and down Durham Chair up to Cowan Gate, onto Middleston Mower, Spenny Mower, Tudor, Croxdale. And as we went out of Croxdale, you turned first left. The bridge is cut off now, and you're over there, and you turn left onto a bridle path. And we marched straight away through to the monastery, Bedderfield, Bransworth Road. We came out on the road there, and we lined up in full, the full battalion, the sailor at the head, who would then be, I don't know, it might have been Colonel Hamley, or it might have been Colonel Jeffries. And we marched to Bransworth, and the last 200 yards up the little cliff to the count was at Regimental Pierce. And all they were doing was showing the flag. But I enjoyed it. I've done an exercise to try and get as many photographs about that march, and I've ended up with four only, and I've been through the archives of Darlington Bradley, the archives of Durham, and a very, very poor response. I even had an article in the Echo about it, and I got two replies.
It's a long way.
It was 19.5 miles. We've clocked it since because we've had so many debates about, oh, we started from Piercebridge, we started from Bellevue. And I said, no, we didn't, we started from West Auckland. And that's another of the most embarrassing periods, really, for me. If anybody said to me, you know, what's the most embarrassing time? It's this, being part of a battalion going to war, being the milkman of the village that we marched through, and having a Sten gun with a boot like that, and a little bit trying to hide your face. And I remember coming down West Auckland past the green, and I was on the white line in the road, and I could see, there he is, there, you know, that one up there, and the sailor here, and all that.
And the crowds turned out for you, did they?
Oh, it was a good turnout, yes. Well, I mean, when you hear the band of people do turn out, no, it was a good turnout. And I remember Barbara, I see you lived right on the bridge at West Auckland, you were there with her parents. And you could see, you know, and you kept saying, that's her, you know, that's her. But no, we had it was a good match, I enjoyed it.
Did the population realise you were due for Korea at this time? Was it known in the county that you were going?
There's an article on the paper in one of the photographs I've got. The caption at the bottom states that this is the battalion would be shortly leaving for Korea, yes. Yeah, then by that time, you know, the mayor of Durham School had been started, you know, to raise money to send the goodies out to us lads.
The training that you did at Bellevue, was it, looking back when you were from the time you were in Korea, was it useful training for what you were about to meet at some point? Was it relevant to Korea or to the kind of
battles? I think it would be, in as much as it would be for the excuse me. The rifle lads, because they would have to go up and down the hills. With me, I had a jeep, But I was put on like special duties. They would say, well, you know, the signal officer would be with BHQ in such and such a place, that you just stand by as a driver there if they want you, and then they would come in and say, take your jeep, drop the sides down, take your jeep down there, you've got two stretcher cases to fetch back. So a lot of this was done at night. So you had to go and ride around, and you would be saying, you know, if I was wounded, you're lousy driver, you're hitting all the proper ones, you're hitting all the bumps. But they used to do things like that. They would utilise you in all different ways. So you weren't missing. And then sometimes they had to go to Ripon for explosives with the assault pioneers, obviously. They'd use them all up. And you just come round and say, you have to, you know, come with me. I've seen Lieutenant Tomlinson, and you're with me today. So we'll go to Ripon. And you would go around the villages from Catnick, not the main road, you would go the back road, like West Ripon and East Ripon and places out there. We'd stop in a pub for lunch. He was a great fella, Captain Hodgson, he was. He was a great fella. But then we'd go to the engineer place in Ripon and get what we were supposed to go for and fetch them back and issue the ammunition and explosives and that, the special one we'd gone for. But we were always out on the road every day. It was, you know, we always had somewhere to go and something to do. I was never tied in unless you did a night exercise and then you had to sleep the next day. And to look after Tonky was easy. You just had to wake him up the next morning, hot water for his share, cup of tea, and then he would go to the officer's mess for his meal, and I would go to our place for our meal.
How long was it from arriving back from Berlin to actually getting ready to go off to Korea?
We came from Berlin, and I think I'm correct in saying we did the 2 weeks intensive at Bellamy. We did the march on the Saturday. Now I'm not sure we went. You had to have a foot inspection on the night, and we were allowed away on the Sunday. Well, we had to be back for the Sunday. We were allowed away that night. And on the Monday, everybody was going on leave, so you had all your passes and permits to get out. And we had 3 weeks leave from that. And when we came back from that, I came back to Bransfield. And I had to write it down there. We had a big do in Durham with the battalion, in the cathedral as well.
It was a march through Durham.
March through Durham, yes, with the flags flying around. I've got a couple of photographs of that as well. And that was a Saturday. I'm sure it was a Saturday. Because on the night they had a big dance and farewell party for the officers and other invited people. And the batman were given monkey suits. And I had a green, he looked like a frog, green cutaway jacket with a long tail and a stiff front and the tight trousers. And you had to go around with the champagne on the trays and whatever it was. And that went on, seemed to go on for hours and hours and hours. But the next morning, I didn't have any duties. You were allowed to get away. We did have to pass the batman. You had to do the washing up and you had to do the serving as well. And I can't remember which it. You serve from the right, but you take away from the left, or is it the other way around? And it was all silver. And when he did the washing up, I mean, there was plenty of it, maybe 6 or 8 of you would be doing it. And he had great big tubs to put everything in to wash up, and it all had to be dried. And you had duties in the castle as well. And then a little, one of the, as you go in the guard, well, the left-hand side one was like a little guard room. If you wanted to go out, you went out. If you wanted to be back in after time, the toilets, which were still 12 foot above ground, and you went round the back of it, but they used to leave the window open with a rope out and knot in it so you could get up. That's the only way I could get up with a knot. I couldn't get up on the rope. But, yes, you enjoyed it.
How did your parents feel about you going off to what was a fighting area, a dangerous area?
Well, I don't think he was just as part of everybody else. All the lads about my age, they were all in the army somewhere in other parts of the world. I don't know really what they were doing. I know my mother kept not only the article out in the paper, the whole paper, that when I came home, We had a whole stack of papers to go through, which I cut out and which I got stuck into boats, which was kept. But as soon as I came on the embarkation leave, I was back to work. You were out delivering the lift, you were out working the small hauling, you know, you didn't have time to, you had a bit of time on a night to go and see the girlfriend as then, but there was no having days off or anything like that. Maybe one day, I don't see any grandmother, but there was no time. You were up every morning at 6 o'clock and you were out with the lift just to see
him. How did you feel about going off to Korea?
Wonderful. It didn't bother me at all. I was enjoying the army life. I thought it was marvellous. If I hadn't been obligated at home, I would have stayed in. I really enjoyed my army time.
So what are your memories of actually setting off for Korea?
Well, we had the parade on the Sunday. And they came back after they had to go in Durham. I think they'd been fed in Durham. And they came back and the officer said to me, right, you can go. This would be, maybe it's about 4 o'clock. And I was home for just about 5 o'clock, just after 5 o'clock. But he had to be back on the night. Everybody else was confined to barracks because we were leaving on the Monday or the Tuesday. And I was back in the camp for, with the last bus out of Willingdon, maybe it's half past 10, quarter to 11. And I was back in the castle. And everybody's excited, all geared up. And then the next day, I think we had the inoculations, or one or two, and we all embossed and went to Durham. That was it. And we got on the train there. I think there was two trains, really, that took us down to Southampton. And the band was there, and a lot of people were there to wave you off. And we trudged up the gangplank, and great. And it was allocated to wherever you were keeping, which was way down in the bottom of these old Empire Trouble that we were on. And it was around about the 28th or 29th of July, because we hadn't been out, we were in the day of this day when it was my birthday. And it would be 20, I was 21 in Egypt. Yes, it would be my 20th birthday as we were going out.
What was the conditions like on the boat?
Well, just have a bit of what I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. You could go to the meals were good, and you got a tray like this, cut into compartments. And when you went to be served, it was like a self-service cafeteria. You just said to the man, I love that on there. He put it on this corner and he separated it. And you got a mug for tea. And when you finished with your tray, you just dropped it over there. I think somebody else washed up. But on the boat, you did you still had PT, you still had weapon practice, and we still did exercises to do with the signal section, and you would do division work and things like that. But the afternoons were nearly all free, and then on the night you would have the nappy bar and you could have a beer and do what you want. And as you got into the warmer areas, you see, sometimes you're allowed to sleep on deck. But we had no trouble getting down to the med, we had no trouble going through the med, and you could see the porpoises and the flying fish. And one of the nicest things, I want to keep saying to my wife, I'll take you back to this, is to just before Port Said, you can see the little buildings in the distance, you know, and as you get near them, you take these square buildings and all this, and the sunshine is marvellous. But we weren't allowed ashore at Port Said.